Dear Lord, may this message not be my message. May these words not come from me, but may they come from you. May they serve your purpose and give you glory. Pray this in your name. Amen. We are continuing our sermon series, God Never Said That. We've had a lot of great messages around things that we often maybe say that we don't really know what we're saying. And I encourage anybody if you missed a sermon, you haven't been here every week, go online, go to the website and check it out. Great messages. This has been fun to prepare and to preach and to be a part of. But we continue this week with another something that God didn't say. A phrase that we all have said, we all have heard, it's part of our common vernacular. And God helps those who help themselves. We've heard that, right? We know that. We've probably said it. And we're going to look a little more closely today. What really are we saying? Or what should we be saying? Maybe we shouldn't be saying that. Maybe it doesn't say exactly what we think it says. But it absolutely is part of the way we think. It was about, that notion, that concept came about during Greek mythology, about 500 years before Christ, and was taught or preached by philosophers for 2,500 years. And most recently, I don't know if you know this, but it really became part of our consciousness as a country when Benjamin Franklin wrote it down in 1738 in the Poor Richard's Almanac. And ever since then, it's something that we just understand. We just know it. It's just part of the way we think. I think it's kind of funny. Years ago, he hasn't been on for a while. Some of you who are young may not remember, but Jay Leno did the Tonight Show. He had a segment that I just loved called Jaywalking. He would go out in the streets and he'd just interview people, ask regular people questions, often with hilarious answers. Those are funny things. You never know what people will say, especially when they say stuff that makes no sense. But a few years ago, he did one of those, and the question was, can you name one of the Ten Commandments? And it was surprising, because probably the most popular answer to that, can you name one of the Ten Commandments, was God helps those who help themselves. That was it. That's what most people said. In fact, Barna Group, or a Christian research company, did a similar survey, and they reported that 8 out of 10 people believe that God helps those who help themselves is part of the Ten Commandments. Or at least maybe half said that concept was one of the main messages of the Bible. Well, let me let you know, that's not in the Bible. That is not one of the Ten Commandments. That's not true. But still, we understand it. That seems to be part of the way we think. And in a lot of ways, it makes sense, doesn't it? It makes perfect sense. God helps those who help themselves. I don't know if it makes sense because it's something that God wants us to understand, or just because we've heard it so many times, or we've repeated it so many times, that it's part of the way we think. We're going to look today at one way that it speaks truth, and then really two significant ways that it does not speak truth, that it really does not make sense according to Scripture. So we're going to take a look at that. God helps those who help themselves. First off, it's not in Scripture. There's maybe lots of different ways that it came about, but there is a little bit of truth. Adam Hamilton, who's a Methodist pastor of the largest Methodist church in the country, wrote a book recently called Half-Truths. And we've based a lot of this sermon series on that book that he wrote, Half-Truths. And he describes in that book, when he talks about this one concept, God helps those who help themselves, as really being more of a third truth. It's really not even a half-truth. There's a little bit of truth, but mostly it's not true. And it's true in the sense that in some ways God does help those who help themselves. After all, When we sit down to pray for our meal, during a meal time, we gather around the table and we say grace and we thank God and ask for blessings. When we say amen, food doesn't just fall down and appear on our table, does it? It doesn't happen. It doesn't just fall down and boom, they're ready to be eaten. It's not the way it works. It takes us getting a job, creating income, going to the grocery store to buy the food, having resources, appliances to be able to prepare the food. It also requires farmers to grow the food. It takes truckers to bring the food to market. It takes grocery store employees to stock the shelves and make sure the food is available to purchase. There's a lot of work that goes into it. There's a lot of work, and we have to do our part, right? It takes a certain amount of work to make sure that happens. But what we do when we bless the food is we're thanking God because we have the resources. We have ground. We have rain. We have people who do this. We have the resources available to provide these a meal for ourselves. But we still have to do the hard work in getting it to the table. In a similar way, there's lots of ways that we could flesh this out. But a similar way is if you've lost your job, maybe you're unemployed, and many of us have dealt with this at one point or another in our lives. But when we find ourselves unemployed, we don't have a job, if we just sit at home and pray, God, help me get a job. I need a job. Please provide a job for me. And then we just continue to click through the channels on the couch. It's probably going to be a long time before we're gainfully employed again, right? We have to, if we want a job, you got to get out there, you got to dust off the resume, update that, you got to go out, fill out applications, you got to go talk to employers, do interviews, convince them that you are the right person for the job. That's what it takes to get a job. It doesn't just happen. Sure, we have to do, God plays a part in that, we ask for his assistance, but we have to actually engage and make that happen. So in some ways, God does help those who help themselves. There's a story also of a couple who wanted to sell their house. And they met with a realtor and got it on the market, and they were asking a certain price for it. And then after, you know, a long time, they were not getting any bites. Nobody wanted to buy their house. And they prayed, God, Lord, help us sell our house. And they, after a while, they went to the pastor. They said, Pastor, nope, why isn't God answering our prayer? Why isn't God helping us sell this house? And the pastor talks with them a little bit and finds out that the realtor that they're working with advised that they probably had it priced too high. And it was maybe they're asking too much for it. And they said, well, yeah, but we're asking God for help. And after a while, the pastor says, well, really, you're not asking God to help you sell your house. You're asking God to help you sell your house for more than it's worth, is really what you're asking God to do. So they thought about that, and they went back and worked with the realtor, and they dropped the price, $10,000, and it sold in a few days. We have responsibility, don't we? God gives us resources. He gives us advisors. He gives us people to come alongside us and help us. But really, we are the ones who make it happen through God's blessing and God's provisions. So in some ways, God does help those who help themselves. But yet, in a lot of ways, in two main ways that I'm going to lift up, this is not true. This is not biblical truth. And it becomes a challenge when we use that phrase. And some of us have done this. I've probably done this more times probably than each of us would like to admit. But how many times have we said, God helps those who help themselves, as a way to justify our not wanting to help? Anybody? Is it just me? Surely, I'm not the only one who's ever done that. Isn't that what we do? We say that because we don't want to help. We feel like, you know, I've made a life for myself. I have a job. I pay my bills. Surely, everybody else can do that too. God helps those who help themselves. If they would just work harder, if they would just apply themselves, if they would just focus on it, God will help them solve their problems. That's what we often think. And that's often how we use that phrase, God helps those who help themselves. But really, that's not always the case. In fact, sometimes people can't help themselves. The way I'd like to tweak that saying, the Lord helps those who help themselves, is to say, God helps those who can't help themselves. We've lifted up IHN several times this month. And it's a wonderful ministry, ministering to homeless families. And families, these are families, people that have children. We found out a couple of weeks ago that most of the homeless folks in Indianapolis are children. So we have a ministry, and we reach out and we help these folks gain and secure for themselves reliable housing. But when we're dealing with the homeless community, it's easy for us to not really understand. Us middle class, upper middle class people in Carmel have no idea what it means to be homeless. The struggles and the challenges that people have when they're homeless. Adam, actually Hamilton, in his book, says that when he was a young pastor, fresh out of seminary, he met a young man who was homeless, and he said, who asked him for, you know, some money for lunch, and he said, I'll do better than that, I'll take you to lunch. And he thought, I'll help this guy get out of this situation. It'll be easy because I know how to do it. I'm successful. And so he takes this homeless man out to lunch, and he says, okay, so let me help you. I got a copy of the local paper. Let's get you a job. Okay, first let's work on a resume. Give me your phone number and your address. And he's like, hello, I don't have a phone number and address. And he says, okay, well, let's apply to some of these jobs. What references do you have? And he says, if I had references, I wouldn't be living on the streets. And so the conversation continues like that. And he realizes, you know, there's this guy, this homeless person, it's not that simple. We live in a country where, you know, just pull up your, you know, lift yourself up by your bootstraps. Well, that's hard to do when you don't have any bootstraps. When you don't even have boots. God helps those who help themselves is really speaks nonsense when we look at it from this perspective. Because we've got a lot of people in the world who can't help themselves. They don't have the resources. They don't have the understanding. They don't have that basic foundation on which to build anything. God helps those who can't help themselves. And he does it primarily through us. God works through us. Sometimes he does, and he certainly can, but he often, usually, does not provide things for folks out of thin air. The way that he helps people, whether it's the homeless, whether it's somebody who's dealing with an addiction, whether it's somebody who's struggling in a broken relationship, whatever it is, God helps those people through us, through relationships, through financial resources, through time, through just paying attention and investing in folks. That's what God does. And that is an amazing truth of the reality of God. Whether you lack resources or whether you lack opportunity, sometimes people can't help themselves. They're so stuck. They're so down and out that they don't know where to begin. That's why God calls us to help and be his hands and feet. But then the next thing that God, or the next reason, and really the main reason why this idea, this concept, God helps those who help themselves, is not true, is because while some people are dealing with, you know, a lack of material blessings, a lack of resources, shelter, clothing, food, whatever it may be, there are a lot of people who have a deficiency in their spirit, who are stuck in sin, who are stuck in the mire of bad decisions, and they are blinded to the truth. It's not a matter of giving them a handout. It's not a matter of giving them some bread or some clothing or a shelter. Some people are lost. Some people are oblivious. They're so caught up in their sin, whether it's because of a bad decision or maybe it's a bad decision of somebody else that impacted them negatively. Whatever it is, some people are so stuck in their grief, in their shame, in their depression, that there is no hope for them. They have no hope in ever getting out or seeing the light or seeing a better way. But that's where God comes in. God helps those people. Mainly, He helps those people. And we've all been there at one time or another. Here's a passage of scripture that I have for us today. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages He might show the incomparable riches of His grace, expressed in His kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. When someone is lost, when someone has blinders on, when somebody is so far down in their sin and brokenness, they can't see a way up. They can't see a way out. They can't help themselves. But God has mercy. God has mercy on each and every one of them. For when we can't help ourselves, that is when God works best. Through our weakness, God's strength overcomes. And God is a merciful God. In fact, that really is the whole story of the gospel. For God's mercy is really what this concept is about. Not the God helps those who help themselves, but that other variation. God helps those who can't help themselves. That is the gospel. And we have a word for God's mercy given to those who can't help themselves. We call it grace. We call it grace. That is the amazing blessing of the gospel. That is what the whole story of the Bible and Jesus tells us. And it's all about that grace. For we are all lost and without hope. None of us could help ourselves out of any situation. We certainly can't save ourselves. But it's through Christ's loving sacrifice, the fact that He gave Himself up for us, the fact that He secured our future and conquered death, that is grace. And each and every one of us have that available. And so it doesn't matter whether it's material resources that we lack, or it doesn't matter if it's brokenness or sin or something that's keeping us from the truth. God is faithful. And that grace working through His people is available to every single person. So yeah, God doesn't help those who help themselves. God helps those who can't help themselves. And He does it using you and me. Let's pray. Dear Lord, you truly are an awesome and gracious and loving God. May we see this world through your eyes. May we think about the things that we think we know. And may we work to reframe our minds and our vocabulary so that it lines up more with your truth and with your will and what you are doing in the world around us. Lord, thank you, for you are an awesome and holy God. Amen.